Tell those great stories about strong women and supportive men to inspire others and motivate them to do good things. So that's my new mentor world.
Today's episode is sponsored by HEB Curbside and Delivery. When life throws you a loop, HEB Curbside and Delivery is here to help. We shop how you shop, so you get exactly what you want. Order today at HEB.com. HEB Curbside and Delivery, it's never been easier to shop HEB.
We have a very special guest with us today, someone whom I've admired for quite some time, not only because of her prowess in the business world and what she's been able to accomplish, but just who she is as a human being and what an amazing story she has to share. So please welcome Donna Cole, the CEO and president of Cole Chemical, and also one of the founding directors of Pantheon Producers. Right. So you're bringing the industry and art together, and
right side, left side,
right side, left side of the brain. It's all good. And Donna, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
So
great to be here.
So I don't even know where to start with. Let's start with this. You founded Cole Chemical when you had what, $5,000 in your pocket? You were recently divorced.
Yes.
And you
had
children,
four.
Your daughter was four, and your company is now like $1 billion, whatever.
Well, I wish it were.
Well, close.
we're still striving.
You're still striving, but okay, so hundreds of millions, whatever. Highly successful energy chemical company. How'd you do it?
You know, I just had a lot of people who encouraged me to do this, and then I had a mentor who said, why not? You know, because you always doubt yourself, and I had no ambition of owning my own business. He's like, well, you know, you've bought chemicals, you sold them, you did the financials, you did collections, you did invoicing. Why not? I'm like, oh, okay. And so then we worked till 3 a.m. trying to think of a name for the company.
And you came up with Cole Chemical.
Well, because I was divorced and Tammy was four, and I just didn't want to go to school and have to introduce myself under a different name than her. I think it's bad enough that parents get a divorce, but then your kids feel like they're divorced too, because now your mommy took on a different name than you.
Yeah.
And you had the same name before. So, So I just kept it. And at the time, so, you know, I'm Japanese American. Mm-hmm. There was still Japan bashing going on. So, you know, you really have to think about, right, strategically.
Yeah.
Is this going to hurt you or help you? Mm. And at the time, I just thought making it Fujimoto Chemical was wrong.
Was wrong. Okay. So what was it like as a Japanese American woman? First of all, as a woman. Second of all, as a Japanese American woman, to start your own business at a time when, as you say, Japan bashing was still going on.
So I had my challenges in the beginning, but I had a lot of customers who already did business with us, so they knew who I was, they knew I was honest, that, you know, I was responsive, and so that's why they asked me to start my own business, because they had government contracts, mm-hmm. and they couldn't meet their minority woman small business goals, mm-hmm. because you can only buy so much paper and pencils, right?
Yeah.
And back then, you could count travel or furniture, but even if you buy furniture, it lasts you, what, 20 years? You're not going to buy furniture every month or every year. Mm-hmm. So it was a good fit for them to work with me. And I did have my challenges when I started to grow the business outside of these people, or these men, actually.
Give us an example.
So I met with a guy from a big energy company, and we had lunch. And I said, you know, I just started my company. Would love to sell you some amines. He said, you probably can't even spell diethanolamine. So
no,
I was very
didn't.
Surprised. Yeah.
Whoa. And how did you respond to that?
You know, being an Asian, right, I was just very quiet and said, oh, well, you know, I have time to learn. I had another man who was doing this to me saying, you know, you're never going to be successful because I know all the vice presidents of purchasing for all of these chemical companies and energy companies, and you don't know them. And I said, oh. And so I did have a response for him. Mm. So I said, well, you know, you're probably 45, 50. You're going to hit retirement soon. And I'm only 27, so I have another 40 years. So I will learn who they are.
I love it. Good for you. Yeah. And he probably looked at you like, if looks could kill, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you stayed the course and you made decisions to just do whatever it took to get where you wanted to be.
Well, you know, my mentor, when you asked me, oh, what were some of those other challenges, was that people didn't want to sell to me, right? I had customers, but then you have to go buy the product. So there were several times I needed to buy some barges, and I had to go to him, my mentor, and say, will you go buy this for me and sell it to me and add a little profit so I can sell it? So have it not been for even those kind of situations?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I'd be here today.
How many years did you have to do that before it got to the point where you could literally go out and buy your own product instead of having to go through a third
Probably
party?
About 5-6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's your advice to women now who are trying to start their own businesses, whether it's in the energy space or whatever? It sounds like one thing would be for sure to get a mentor and someone that you can trust.
Absolutely.
But what other, and I know you do a lot of speaking and to women's groups and others, but what's your 2 or 3 tidbits of advice there?
So I think today in particular, you really do have to know your financial position, right? How much cash do you have? Where can you get cash? How do you leverage, right? So all of those are so important today. And you know, your costs aren't as high as they were back when. You can actually work out of your home now. So I encourage people, start there. If you have another job, do that job and do what you think you're passionate about and want to turn into a job, because it makes it just so much easier. And, you know, there's so many small businesses that fail in the first 5 years. So give yourself a chance, right? And you can never tell enough people what you do. You just have to keep telling people over and over. You get a new piece of business, you're doing something with something new with somebody, a new service or a new product. You have to keep telling people. You can never think that people know what you do.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that is so true. That's something that I've learned a lot in the last 10 years that I've had my business, is that, especially because I came from a place where people knew me for one thing and they didn't know me as a businesswoman. And I'm still just out there telling people what I do, because you can't assume that everybody knows.
No, that's right.
You, and, just
you know,
have to
I just
keep
love
going.
What you guys are doing now, you know, all the PR and the marketing and planning. It's just so much bigger than people think.
Than people realize.
Absolutely.
Right. So let's talk now about the other side of your brain, the creative side that you're so passionate about. Tell us about Pantheon Productions.
Right.
And why you started it and what your goals are.
There's only 24 hours in a day.
Okay. All right. So
and,
the short version.
Right. And I have a lot of people who come to me and want to be mentored, right? Mm-hmm. Or want me to be their sponsor. And what I realize is I just don't have enough time to do a good job there and at Cole Chemical. Mm-hmm. So if I could tell stories about strong women and supportive men who are mentors and sponsors, of women, that maybe men and boys will treat girls and women better, and women can look at themselves and girls in a better way, and that we can go out and do great things. You know, we can improve the quality of life, not only for ourselves, but our family and our community. And so tell those great stories about strong women and supportive men to inspire others and motivate them to do good things. So that's my new mentor world.
Okay. Yeah. So you're multiplying it. It's
millions. You can help millions.
Right. Okay. So what have you produced thus far?
So we did I Dream Too Much, which is a full feature film. And it was a great production. We had a lot of fun. It was an upcoming young woman who doesn't quite know what she wants to do, but she wants to travel. And her mom says, well, then go get a law degree and you can work and make money and then you can travel. And she was like, I don't know about that, because, you know, she loved to write. She loved poetry. Mm-hmm. And she met her great aunt and spent some time with her because her grand aunt had a fall. So she says, I volunteer. Instead of going to law school, I'll go take care of great aunt. And in that, she finds out that her great aunt, who she really didn't care much about, had the life that she wants to live.
Wow.
And then they became like this.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful story. And Diane Ladd was in it, so you know she's wonderful.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And we gave Eden Brolin her debut. She looks just like her daddy, Josh. It was so funny. And then we had another young woman, and she was in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
And she made her debut singing, and now she went to Broadway, and she was in The Color Purple, and
oh,
she got a Tony nomination. She didn't win it, but, you know, Hamilton took everything. But she was great. So that was fun. And then I thought I was only going to do movies. And then somebody came to me with a play. It was a friend of mine. And I read it, and I laughed, and I said, you know what? This is great. It was about three women, older women, who escaped out of an old folks' home, basically.
Right? Let me out, right?
Yeah, and it was hysterical. So we did that last year at Queensbury Theater here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And then this year, I have a musical. I never thought I'd do a musical.
Yes, yeah. So
and
tell
I'm learning
us
a
about
lot too.
I bet. So this is Lady of Ágreda.
Yes.
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 What is the story in a kind of a nutshell, if you can?
Oh, okay, I had to take a breath. So it's a true story about a cloistered nun. Her name is Maria. When she was a little girl, she wanted her mom to read her the Bible, and before you know it, after a year or two, she could spouse almost everything in the Bible. And then she started writing, and she wanted to be a nun, and she was cloistered. So her mom actually designed the bars that she was behind. And these bars also had these long, oh gosh, what would you call them? Spears, right? So they were so long that you couldn't get but maybe 4 feet near her. Mm-hmm. And so in her penitence, she used to starve herself, but she meditated and she could levitate, right? And then as she was in trance, she was bilocating from Spain to the New World to West Texas, where she was converting Humanos Indians to Christianity, right? And they first tried to kill her with arrows, and they realized they were going through her and she didn't die. And she just reached out and she said, why are you trying to hurt me? I'm only here to help you. And so she was teaching them about being kind. And before you know it, they were going in droves to see the missionaries and the priests to say, please baptize us. Right? Because at this point in time, the Comanche and the Apaches were killing the Humanos Indians, and they were traitors. And she went there, she said, like 500 times. And the legend of the Blue Bonnets, when she, her last time there, they said wherever her blue cape touched the ground, blue bonnets grew. So she was telling her confessor about these trips. And so he told the bishop. And so they did 2 Spanish Inquisitions on her. You know, they had to check her out. So she was being tried for heresy. And her punishment, instead of killing her or burning her at the stake, they actually made her burn her own books, her writings.
Mm.
So you imagine how that hurt.
God.
But somewhere along the line, she met King Philip of Spain, the IV. And they met 3 times in their whole lifetime. But when he first met her, there was something about her that was so spiritual. He said, look, he said, let's write. I'll write on one side of the page and you write on the other side of the page. We have their 630 letters.
Oh my God.
There was a student that went to UT and she converted all 630 letters from Spanish to English. So we're using that as, you know, the basis our story.
Yeah.
But her story's big, right? So this is 1600s. So she's probably the most powerful, most influential, most spiritual woman of the 17th century. So, you know, these letters back and forth, he would say, because this is during the Crusades, tough times, and then he was sending Columbus off to go find more land and gold for Spain, but he would say, he's not worthy. I'm not worthy of this position. And she would write back and said, no, you are. Stay in faith. God will protect you, right? And then she would say, she's not worthy. And he would do the same thing, right? So they were mentoring each other. But I know he sponsored her because she wasn't burned at the stake. She wasn't killed. Mm. But what happened, too, is where the Concho River comes in to play. The Indians believe where two or more rivers come together, it's very spiritual, because there's water, there's plants, animals come to drink, mm-hmm. right? And then trees grow and there's shelter. And in West Texas, there's wild pecans. So she did needlepoint back in Spain, you know, in her convent. And it was about the plains. And you could see the animals, the buffalo. You could see the horses. You could see the Indians in their markings. So how would she know if she really didn't go?
If she really, yeah.
Right? But more importantly, there were these mussels in the Concho River because of the alkalinity. They make pink pearls. She had pink pearls in Spain. She had little wooden crosses that the children made for her.
This is giving me chills, right? Donna.
So oh the priest, goodness. And he gets on a boat. He comes over here. He goes to the missionaries, and he tells them, you know, find me these Indians. So the Indians are there. He goes to, they're not called chief. They're called captains at the time, the Humanos Indians. So he pulls out a portrait of a nun and says, this is who you say is coming to see you? They go, no, that's not her. They pulled out another one that was Maria, and they go, that's who comes to see us.
Hmm. Wow.
So very interesting, right? I mean, this whole story about her. And then, so during the Inquisition, she was already so weak because, you know, she's starving herself. They bring her down in a chair, and they make her kneel for 14 hours. And those kneelers don't have cushion on them, right? So you can imagine how hard that was on her. And also, the nuns didn't like her so much because, you know, they felt like she overdid her penance, and, so to speak. And so when she was levitating, they would blow air into the holes in her door to watch her move, right, and laugh. And then the priests were starting to make money off of her because people would pay more money just to see her levitate, mm-hmm. right? And then, of course, after the first Inquisition, they made her stop. Don't go there anymore, right? You have to. So she forced herself, you know, not to think about going to the New World. In her writing, she wrote these books. We can buy them, called The Mystical City of God. She sent them to the king after the first time they made her burn her books. Because she was hoping that he would save them for her, and he did, so that she wouldn't have to burn those books again. Can you imagine writing four volumes of books
and
then doing it again?
So she wrote them all over again. Wow.
They weren't her words. She said, they're not my words. They're the Virgin Mary's was speaking through me. And her mother asked her at a young age, she's like, where did you learn how to read and write? And her answer was, the angels taught me. It's just a fabulous story.
Wow.
You know, we can't cram it all into a two-hour musical.
Yeah. So I'm struck by the faith piece of this that is, I think, particularly resonant for today, because we are living in such a chaotic time. And so often it just feels like everything is the world as we know it is falling apart, and it can be really easy to lose faith as you know, as we watch things happen. It sounds as though this piece of art, this musical, can help remind us about having faith in ourselves and in each other and in our common humanity. Is that one of the reasons why you were drawn to this?
It is. There's so much relevancy for today,
yeah.
right? And, okay, so what really drew me to this, so I'm in the backseat of an Uber. I'm leaving out of our subdivision, and I look over, and you know how these electrical boxes around town are being painted, and they're beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
The one at my subdivision has blue bonnets.
Oh, wow.
And I just looked up and I said, I got this, God. Don't worry. But we need your help. We need your wisdom, your strength. You have to put the right people in my path. And we're going to do this right. because she's up for sainthood right now. So I think if more people around the world knew about her, maybe she would get sainthood. Part of this music has already been played for the Pope.
Really?
So they went this last May, and the Pope said it was just the most beautiful music he'd ever heard. So our lyricist composer is in West Texas, in San Angelo. And, you know, I met her out there. So all of this, how this all unfolded is just crazy. You're just not going to believe it. God must have had this plan for a long time, because the lady who actually got me to San Angelo is Catherine Louie, who I worked with Pipeline for the Sciences to help underprivileged kids learn about chemistry and physics.
Are you kidding
me? No. She marries a guy. They moved to San Angelo. She calls me 5 years ago and she says, hey, can you come out here and speak to the Chamber of Commerce about women in business? I'm like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So I'm there. We go to a cafe afterwards, because you don't usually eat lunch, right, when you're speaking. Mm-hmm. And this woman walks in who's the writer, the music, the composer of this Maria story about Maria. And she was telling me the story. And I just kind of poo-pooed it off. I never gave it much more thought, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So here I am in Houston. You know, I'm in the energy industry, and this woman's daughter works for Baker Hughes, and she asked me to come speak for the Baker Hughes employees. Well, her mom has to come, right?
Right.
And she brings this director, Bruce Lumpkin, who used to play here at the Tuts and was with Tommy Tunes up mm-hmm. in New York, mm-hmm. and says, I've talked to him, and he and I want to do this musical. Can you help us? Again, right. It really wasn't on my radar screen. Yeah. But I knew about the story, and I thought it was great. Until I saw those blue bonnets on my street. And I'm like, okay,
that's a sign. I need to do this.
I had to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is about all of this chaos going on. And having faith. Knowing that there's God. There's somebody, something out there bigger than all of us. And that we do have to come back to find love. To be loved, to be kind to people, and do the right things, right? So I have a friend of mine, she does energy work, and so she was telling me yesterday, you know, there's a word for it, I can't remember what it was, but she says, all of this is happening, all of this chaos, she said, but there's also this underlying spirit of God that's going to come through and break all this up. She said, companies who are in it for just the money and greed and power and doing unethical things will be going away. I'm like, whoa. Right? And I'm thinking, is this part of that movement? You know?
Did she tell you when?
No. Okay, I'm going to call her back.
Please, when is this chaos going away?
but she says that a lot of people who do energy work and Reiki and healing.
Yeah.
Will know this and know that it's happening. It's, you know. So please find more of those people.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. This is so fascinating to me to see how I just feel like you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. That, as you say, there's a divine plan for each one of us. We don't know what it is. We're just going about our merry way, trying to, you know, figure it out as we go along. But just listening to you tell all these different, I mean, the whole energy connection along with the creative side of it and how all of those dots are connected is just, to me, says that you are doing exactly what the divine plan is for you in your life. Yeah. And what would be your message to, I guess, to our audience and to the world in general in terms of how we can navigate this chaos as we try to recognize what the divine plan is for each one of us, and just find our way back to love.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts on that are good people have to find other good people, and we have to band together, and we have to understand that it's our job. You know, in the past, somebody might have done you wrong, and it was unethical, or something happened, and you know, do it to me twice. Okay, I get it, right? Who you are and what you're about. But I think now we need to recognize that, and we need to protect other people from them. I wouldn't have said this in the past, because I would have said, if somebody did me wrong, it was me, right? And you just keep all that to yourself. But now it's like, no, I have to protect other people, because maybe they're good people. Why should I let somebody come in and do something to them, right? Mm-hmm. If they're not good people. Yeah. So let's make sure we let people know, this is a good person, connect them, help them, right? And connect other people. And if somebody says something about another person, no. Stand and you don't have up. To say what happened.
Right.
You just have to say, oh, you should be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, there are words you can use.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing more of that. And I don't know if I'm doing it because I'm older now and I'm okay with it. Mm. But I realize that my whole life, Linda, like yours, is really about connections. And how do you connect people? How do you connect people with their projects to help them succeed, right?
Right.
And you want to help good people. And you put people together. So here's the difference. I have somebody else I know, and they go, oh, I know so-and-so. Oh, yeah. They could probably help you. But if you ask me, I'll go, oh, I know Linda. Let me see if I can arrange lunch with you and me and Linda, and I'll introduce you.
Right.
Or if I can't do that, at least I'll do an e-introduction. Mm-hmm. I'll say who you are, who Linda is, and why you should come together. See, that's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think if more of us do that, because it does come back to you. Because you never know who knows who, et cetera. And just in this short journey that I've been with this musical, Lady of Agreda, oh my God. People are coming into my life that I had no idea that they would be coming into my life, and it was for this purpose.
For this purpose.
Yeah.
Wow. So when does the musical open?
March 12th at Queensberry Theater, which is in Town and Country, the old Town and Country City Center.
Yes, I know exactly where it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It used to be the little old Town and Country Playhouse.
I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's called Queensberry Theater. It's beautiful. They have free parking. So we'll play five performances a week through April 5th. Okay. And I just hope we could put butts in seats.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, I already have Inspire Women. They bought the whole balcony for the next to the last.
That's a wonderful organization. That's a wonderful organization. And so the goal, so the Pope is already aware of this musical.
It was a musical ballet that was done for him.
Okay.
It was, some of the music is the same.
Okay.
But we've got all new music.
Okay.
Also. And it's a musical instead of a musical ballet.
Okay.
So yes, he's well aware that we're trying to raise her up,
her
recognition and awareness in the public. So.
You think you're going to get to go meet the Pope?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Wouldn't it be wonderful? I just met someone recently who did meet the Pope, and I will connect you to her.
See there?
Yeah.
That works.
I am going, you two, I'm having lunch with her tomorrow, and you two need to know each other. I was thinking about her the whole time that you were telling me the story of Maria, and this is going to resonate with my new friend, and I just met her a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's great. And you know, I'm not Catholic, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Presbyterian. But I don't think this story matters.
No, it's about humanity. It's about spirituality. And that's not about religion. It's about spirituality.
Yeah.
And faith.
And faith.
And faith.
And mentorship and sponsorship and, love and, just believing that there is something out there bigger than us. A friend of mine yesterday sent me this video, and it's about Earth and then the rest of the universe. I was like, we are nothing.
It kind of puts it in perspective, right? When you look at it from that vantage point.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Donna, this is just food for my soul, having conversations like this. And I'm so excited about this new venture that you've got, this musical, and I can't wait to see it. Yeah. We'll make sure to link everything on our website so that people can get to it and know when to buy tickets and help get some butts in seats.
And we have group discounts.
Great.
Yeah, for
fantastic.
10 or more people for a group rate of $10 off per ticket. Or if you're a senior, we'll give you $10 off. If you're a student, we'll give you $10 off.
Excellent.
But here's the thing, Linda. I think it's going to go all over the world.
Mm, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll need all kinds of help because we're going to have to get this translated in all different kinds of languages, etc. But the music is beautiful, right?
I can't wait.
All things are possible with God. These aren't my words, they're her words.
Mm. Oh, exciting times. Yeah. So best of luck to you on the production and continued success with Cole Chemical. And I know everyone who has an opportunity, if you ever get an opportunity to hear Donna speak, you really should take advantage of that. And for sure, if you're in the Houston area, come March 5th, you definitely have to go see this amazing musical, Lady of Ágreda.
Yes.
So, Donna, thank you so much. Thank all of you for watching and listening and for giving Donna permission to speak and for having the courage to listen with an open mind. We'll see you next time.